name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, imploring him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives the power to become the children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. O Lord, in this wondrous sacrament, you have left us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Is not the cup of thanksgiving, for which we give thanks, a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ?
Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf.
Thank you. The Holy Scripture reading for today is written in St. Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 29, and we read together. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
Thank you. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, amen. And the Word of God, which will serve as the basis for the sermon this Monday, Thursday, is from the 26th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, verses 26 through 29. Please be seated. I thought a lot about what I wanted to say to you this evening, and I really had to go back to the first time many years ago now that Pat and I read through, as we were reading through the Bible, we read through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and we got into a discussion about what we were receiving in the Lord's Supper. And the reality that Matthew, Mark, and Luke were saying the same thing. Our time in church really went through our early childhood years. I went away from the church completely after confirmation, which unfortunately happens regularly in every church. And then struggled with the thought that there wasn't a God. And then finally, we were brought to faith, as most of you know, and then read Scripture and started looking for a church. I think the point that hit hard was the night we were talking about the Lord's Supper. And we discussed it and we said and agreed that there's more to this supper than just a picture, a symbol, a representation. And while it certainly is a remembrance of Christ and all that he has given us, we thought the body and blood are given to us in some way we just couldn't really understand how. So we started looking around. We went to a number of churches, as I think most of you know, and everything we were hearing was short on the Word of God. And the worship itself was very loose and just whatever. And then we came here one Sunday and were absolutely stunned by what we were hearing, because we were hearing the Word of God from beginning to end. So we went through instruction. Pastor Brock was just a little boy at that time. So we went through the adult class. And that's when we started hearing about Luther's understanding of the Lord's Supper. And all we could say was, yes, this is it. This is what we are receiving in this supper, the body and blood of Christ. And we were so impressed the first time we attended a Monday Thursday and heard the sermon, sang the hymns, all of that. Every time we go through Monday Thursday, all of these things come to our minds that night when we believed that Christ is our Savior and that the body and blood of Jesus are given in communion. And Luther's explanation was right on. The body and blood are really there in, with, and under the bread and wine. That was phenomenal. In, as you all know, is simply to say that the bread and wine are still there. You're taking bread and wine, but you receive the body and blood with it. It's with it in the same sense of the word and under it in the sense that you can't see it, but is there. And I think all of you know this. This is what we've taught here for years, but I cannot sufficiently tell you that on Monday, Thursday, it just really hits all over again. What a blessing to remember this. And then the real shocking part was the fact that this supper had its roots in the Old Testament scriptures, particularly in the Passover meal that God instituted at the time of Moses. And you'll remember that God promised that he would get his people, take them away from their bondage to Egypt, and they were supposed to institute this special meal, the Passover meal, the night before their release. And they were to sacrifice a lamb, an unblemished lamb, as part of that meal. And the other part, of course, would be unleavened bread. And then God instructed Moses, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. He said, I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. The blood of the lamb shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I will spare your firstborn. And that's what happened. The Egyptians couldn't take it anymore, and we know the Israelites were then released from their bondage at that time. They would be saved by the blood of the Lamb. And then we connected that, as is obvious, to the John the Baptist's words in the New Testament. When he sees Christ coming to him, he says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We know this, but this is phenomenal. This travels all the way from about around 1,500 years before Jesus walked the earth, and at that time, that Passover meal was a constant reminder of God's deliverance and his love for his people, but it also pictured, it foreshadowed Jesus Christ, the Passover lamb for the New Testament church. It foreshadowed that we would receive God's blessing, that he would pass over our sins, that he forgives us our sins, and this supper foreshadows the ultimate meal that we will celebrate in eternal life. It points us to the heaven Christ won for us. We remember also the Apostle Paul's word, for Christ our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. He is our Passover lamb, and that's why we're here. And I just love this service. We love it for that reason. We are truly receiving a blessing from Christ. And what's so remarkable about this blessing is that the night Jesus instituted it, as you know, he was in the upper room with his disciples. And of those 12 disciples, one of them was a thief and a betrayer. And he knew what was going to happen to him. And so there he is, God in the flesh, instituting his supper, knowing full well that he was going to be betrayed, arrested, beaten severely, mocked, spit upon, a crown of thorns placed on his head, and then finally he would carry part of his cross to Calvary and there be nailed to it. What a horrible death. And through all of this, he would then experience hell. He knew that was coming at him. But you know something? God so loved the world that he gave his son. And that son, who is God in the flesh, loved you and loves you and me so much that he poured out his body and blood for us, knowing full well what it was going to cost him. And with that, he took with him your sin and my sin, of course, because there really isn't anything we can do to pay for our sin. It's impossible. But he did for us. And that just changes everything when you think about what he did in that upper room, what he instituted for you and me. And so it is quite appropriate that when we come to Holy Week, that we are going through these last steps with Jesus. And each one is absolutely mind-boggling. It is truly, truly a miracle that we see and receive here. And I have to tell you, I don't know how many times the pastors have listened to people tell us, well, how could Jesus give us his body and blood over and over again? We're just sacrificing him all over again. No, we're not. That's absurd. He did it one time, paid for every sin. But if we cannot believe that Christ did that for us, and he does this for us, then how in the world can anyone actually believe that God just spoke his mouth, opened his mouth one day, and said, let there be? And there was. He didn't have, as I've said before, factories in heaven where they had people building things and making dirt and plants and animals, stars and planets. He just said, let there be. And there was. So tell me, why couldn't he not say, this is my body and this is my blood tonight when we take this supper? How could he not say that? Because he is God. And he can say what he wants to. And he loves us. And he wants to open that door for us constantly through his word and in the sacraments of baptism and his supper. All of this for the forgiveness of sin. There are a number of statements Luther made that I have really enjoyed and cherished over these years. I'd like to share a few of them with you. He said, when you come to communion, fully confess that you have nothing to give to God, but that all things come from, in particular, eternal life and righteousness in Him. In Him, we are given life. He counts us as righteous, as sinless, as holy, even though we are still sinful, and we are His forever. And then Luther stated, or the scriptures teach, for you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with burnt offerings. We have nothing to give God here that's going to win His favor for us or pay for any sin we've ever committed. Nothing. The only thing God looks for in you and me is a broken and contrite heart. And that's what I loved about coming to this church, and I still love it, that we start every service with confession of sin and absolution. Because this is what God asks of us. And how could we not? Because He gives us something we would not have, eternal life. Without that, we would have nothing but unending death. And that doesn't mean oblivion. It means we will be fully aware of where we are and what's happened. And it will never go away. But in Christ, we have unending joy and peace. Luther said, for us, the sacrament is a bridge, a door, in which and by means of which we pass from this world into eternal life. Therefore, all depends on faith. Faith. We trust in things that humans can't trust, and they don't want to. I've said this before. Both pastors have said this. The problem with humanity, and even many in the church, is they want God to think the way they think and to see things the way they see it. But we have to think and see things according to what He clearly says to us in His scripture. And what He says to each of us here and will say at the altar is, I love you and I forgive you your sins. Then another thought that Luther gave is this. There is no union more intimate, deep, and inseparable than the union of food with one who partakes of it. Since food enters the system, our bodies, is changed into our nature and becomes one with His being. That is, the food feeds us and becomes part of us. We use it for strength and health. We'd starve to death without it. In like manner, we are united with Christ in the sacrament and at the same time incorporated into the fellowship of the communion of saints. Every time we take the Lord's Supper, it enters into our spiritual well-being, into our souls, if you will, and strengthens our faith and comforts us. Because every one of us in here, everyone sitting in the pew, everyone standing in a pulpit or at the altar, listen, we had another day in which sin is still there. It doesn't go away, not in this life. This is the battle that every Christian must face. God give us strength to take that supper into our bodies, that our souls, our lives spiritually will be strengthened and comforted in that love. And then he said this, the Lord's Supper deals with individuals. In the administration, the body of Christ is given to you, in particular, to each of you, specifically. Under the form of bread and wine, while you as an individual person are told that his body was given for you and that his blood was shed for you. This is said so that, not doubting, you may appropriate this sacrifice as your very own, because it is placed into your mouth and made your own, to eat and drink for yourself only. And this act of communing, God is certainly dealing with and speaking not just to all persons in general, but to you as an individual in particular. And I always say it this way, we say it this way, and love the thought here. When the pastors and elders give communion at this altar, we're just putting that in your hand or in your mouth or giving you the cup. But it's Jesus who is there. And he's saying to each of you, your name, you, and whatever your name is, this is given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sin, right there at that altar. And that is one miracle. It's always amazed me that people are always looking for miracles. And the church has been given three of the most incredible miracles imaginable. The word that brings us to faith and sustains our faith. Baptism, which joins us in the death of Christ and his resurrection. And the supper, which feeds us forgiveness, each of us, and reminds us that God is saying, this is for you. I love you. I forgive you, and you are mine forever in Christ. And so it is that he lowers himself to us in a visible way. He gives us means, water, bread, and wine, things we know and know them well. And there he assures us in a visible, physical way. It is amazing how quickly this church year has passed so far from Advent to this week. And everything we've done in the past points to why Jesus came into this world, especially starting with Christmas, his birth. He came here for one reason, to love us, to life eternal, and to assure us that our sins are truly forgiven. And when you think about it, and we do want to think about it constantly, that changes everything about life in this very dark world. The Lord bless us this night, strengthen and comfort us, and remind us that indeed our sins are forgiven and we are loved with an everlasting love. The Lord be with you. Amen.
This time we confess together the confession of faith from the Formula of Concord concerning the Lord's Supper. We believe, teach, and confess that in the Holy Supper, the body and blood of Christ are truly and essentially present and are truly distributed and received with the bread and wine. We believe, teach, and confess that the words of the Testament of Christ are to be understood in no other way than in their literal sense, and not as though the bread symbolize the absent body and the wine the absent blood of Christ, but that because of the sacramental union, they are truly the body and blood of Christ. Concerning the consecration, we believe, teach, and confess that no man's work nor the recitation of the minister affect this presence of the body and blood of Christ in the Holy Supper, but it is to be ascribed solely and alone to the almighty power of our Lord Jesus Christ. But at the same time, we believe, teach, and confess with one accord that in the celebration of the Holy Supper, the words of Christ's institution should under no circumstances be omitted, but should be spoken publicly, as it is written, "The cup of blessing which we bless." This blessing occurs through the recitation of the words of Christ. We believe, teach, and confess that with the bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ are received not only spiritually by faith, but also orally. Precious Savior, Jesus Christ, once again we are brought to the reality of those events that happened long, long ago in the Old Testament, where God provided us with a Passover lamb to save us from eternal death. You, O Christ, are the fulfillment of that reality, that you came into this world, became one of us, absorbed into yourself our sins, sacrificed yourself on the cross for each and every one of our sins. We pray, O Lord, that you would work true repentance in our hearts, causing us to sincerely understand the reality of our sin, what it has brought, namely death, and with that to believe in the gospel with joyful trust that our sins have been forgiven for your sake. Mysteriously, beyond our understanding, what we just simply describe as the sacramental union, something that we cannot fully define, we just know from your word, as it is clearly given to us, that your body and blood is truly there in with and under the bread and wine, that you give yourself to us in this miracle, that we might have the reassurance of your love. Indeed, body given, blood shed, given to us this evening in the supper. There, indeed, we proclaim your death, that only in your death do we have life, and that you indeed give us that life through your body and blood. Therefore, we pray that you would indeed strengthen our faith, that you would cheer our hearts, that you would strengthen our will to live lives that are in keeping with your word. We pray this night, gracious Lord, that you would drive out all hypocrisy from our hearts, help us in our wrestlings with hypocrisy, and grant to each one of us a heart that is set upon your word and what you say. We pray that we would continue to bear witness to that to others, that they may know the truth of your gospel, and that they may receive you in this sacrament as we do. We pray that you would not allow Satan to rob us of our joy, or to allow Satan to rob us of the treasures that are given to us by tempting us to think otherwise or to love the treasures and pleasures of this world. As you went resolutely forth to meet the enemy, intent on doing the Father's will, so may we be intent upon listening to your word and obeying you and proclaiming it. By your Spirit, then, help us to watch and pray that we may overcome temptation, that we may indeed overcome the weakness of our sinful flesh. And if the time of victory over our sinful flesh and the wicked world seems long in coming, and all of the evil that we see day after day depresses us, we pray that you would teach us to find joy and courage through believing your promises of everlasting salvation. Hear us to the glory of your name, Holy Redeemer, you, O Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.